اشتباه نگفته باشم درخواست کرد از این دو نفر بیان جلو.
I will first let us bless them in their work. Father, I thank you for these people, these brave people. And their life was changed when they learned to know you. I pray, Lord, bless them. Bless them that they know you very, very good, so that they can show you, they can be a light. Will you bless them abundantly? Thank you for the new building. Will you bless the gardens? Will you provide in means what they need, that they can bring many people to you? Will you give them wisdom? We thank you for this morning. Will you bless them with your words? That our hearts will be touched, that it will be your words. Will you build us up? Let your light shine upon your ways, Lord, that where we have to walk. Amen. Good morning, everybody. For us, it is very special to be here and to share the news, good news. When we left our church in Chile, the leader said to us, tell in Holland what God is doing here. There is much bad news in this period, much uncertainty. It is like the coming of the Lord is near. But we also see how the devil is working. And there in between, God is God. And God is working like never before. And that is good news. God is doing wonderful things in this time, like never before. And we see also awful things. We also see wonderful things. And our eyes will see things that nobody has seen before. God, things that God has prepared for this time. For the last days will be a difficult time, but also a wonderful time. And what I saw about 2 years ago, I always had the idea that the time is so heavy. There is much more and more darkness. And I thought as a church, we had to be weapons against it. But that is not the plan of God. God has much better plans. God has a conquering plan, a threefold conquering. Conquering by the Father who loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. And it's also the victory of Jesus who conquered the Satan. He conquered death and sin. And it is the victory of the Holy Spirit who is changing lives, who gives a purpose, who gives really life. God is going to conquer it. The victory is ensured. And we belong to the winners. And we can be happy what God is going to do. So don't believe what is in the news. Don't believe what the television is saying. God is doing wonderful things. God made it possible for us to visit several countries in South America. I was in Cuba. And before in Venezuela, Nicaragua, Colombia. And always you see at the news bulletin that everything is going bad. But a few months ago we were in Cuba, that big island, Santa Clara. And a group of people with a guitar, 20 people. And suddenly a neighbor came in. He said, "Take care, this is forbidden. You cannot be together with 20 people here." And we only were singing. We were so happy. It is not that you will be a rebellion. But God likes it. Let us go on. And nothing happened. But the next day, we were at a great open field. And there were 7,500 people praising the Lord, and nothing happened. Nothing bad happened. God is doing wonderful things. Never have seen it before. It is true, also in our own church. I have to tell about my own country. In economical way, Chile was one of the better countries of South America. Relatively quiet country. But today, this is not any longer. There's many bad news. All the time, it's about bad things. But in the youth group of our church, they were together a few months ago, and one of the girls stood up and started to speak in tongues and between arrows. I come from a Presbyterian background. I don't know what it means for you. I grew up in the Calvinism. When I was 18, I read The Institution of John Calvin. I exactly knew what mattered. I knew everything in my mind. And what God showed me after that time is the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. And I only learned to knew that when I was a missionary in Bolivia. But I did not grow up with that. I like to read in the Bible. And I see that God is doing miracles in it. But I like to be a quiet Christian, I think. But I'm the pastor of the church there, and the youth was there. One of the girls stood up and she started to speak in tongues. That was a surprise for me. And another stood up and he is going to translate what was said in tongues. And another stood up and she was speaking words of God to the older ones. They have not the possibility to copy it from, there's no example, but for God it doesn't matter. God is doing wonderful things. God is healing like never before. He is doing miracles we never have seen. Why? Because he loves us. For he is the winner. He will win this war. And he will win in all respects. Our Lord will win. He will fill the heaven. He will win the battle. And that's where it is about today. What God is wants to do with you in the time we still have. And we are going to read in the Bible, in John 21, the last chapter, the last story. And maybe the best story for the last. And the last verse is writing, all books of the world will not be enough for all the stories about Jesus. This is the last story. We start at verse 1. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to the disciple by the Sea of Tiberias. This is John 21. It happened this way, Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael, from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I am going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is about, this preaching is called Breakfast with Jesus. In Spanish, it's called Come and Have Breakfast. Come and Eat. Jesus invites us to eat. He invites us to rest. Come. He invites us to see. Come and see. He invites us for something. It's a story with many details. John gives so many details that almost you think that the details are not important. 153 fishes. Who has counted these fishes? Why? You count them. There are many theories about it. Augustinus had a great theory about all the numbers. And many of the church fathers had special ideas about it. But I have the impression that John, that he was giving so many details, that actually he is saying, this has really happened. This has happened with so many details. It is true. Everybody who was there knows it. When Peter is doing his dresses about around him, and they had to take the net at the right side of the boat, and where Jesus has the fish and the bread on the fire, and the names of five disciples are given and two others not. There are many details in this story. It is difficult to find the focus. But finally, I believe that there is one focus. This is the second wonderful fishing capture. There was another one that was not the same. The first wonderful fishing capture. In that story, the apostles went with two boats. They didn't find fish. Jesus gave the word. And Peter says at that moment, we didn't catch any fish, but upon your word, I throw out the nets. And at that time, they are changed. And they are not fishermen any longer, but they become fishermen of people. After that, 3 years passed by. The first wonderful capture was when Jesus said, follow me. And the life of these ordinary people completely changed. Wonderful things they have seen. The blind were seeing, the lame were jumping, the mountain speech, the beatitudes. Jesus was the rabbi of the moment. And they are the disciples of that rabbi. And every morning when they woke up, it was a new adventure. There was not an agenda, but actually it was there. For it seemed like Jesus had planned everything. And they followed Jesus and they saw wonderful things happening. The life has a goal and a purpose. When you summarize the life of these people, these were the best years of their life. The best 3 years of their life with Jesus. What can be better? Walking, laughing, crying, challenging. How many stories? John says there are so many things to tell. Jesus had told so many things. And therein he said that he would die and rise up again. That he had to go to the Father and that he was going to come back. And after these 3 years, it all had been fulfilled. And in John 2, I don't want to say that, but I am going to John 2, verse 22. There is written that the disciples remembered after Jesus rose up what he had said before, and they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus has said. They believed in the scriptures, that's the Old Testament. It was fulfilled before their eyes. And they also believed the words of Jesus. And there you see that the New Testament was shaped. It was the beginning of the church. The resurrection was the beginning of the new church. And 3 years passed by. And the text we have read is saying that it was the third time that they saw the risen Lord Jesus. It was not the first time. Peter had seen him before. This was the third time. They are not so astonished anymore to see Jesus. But there is something hidden in this story that is important for the church. For this breakfast, this food, will change the future of the church. And the destiny of the church. The destiny of the church is hidden in this breakfast. And I will show you why. Everything that Jesus has said is true. He is risen up. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is wonderful. The resurrection, the base of our belief. And why the seven apostles were together there in Galilee. And Peter said suddenly, let's go to fish. Why? Jesus rose up already. Jesus had said the truth. And that's wonderful. And why they were going to fish? I think because of this reason. Because Jesus had fulfilled everything he had said. But the apostles did not. They did not do their part. I will give my life for you, Jesus. It didn't happen. They didn't do it. And when the opposition started, they ran away. I will give my life for you, Jesus. I will sit at your right side and the other at your left side in heaven. And Jesus asked them, are you able to have the cup with me? They said, yes. Yes, we understand it completely. We follow you completely. But when the moment was there, they fled. Jesus did what he had said, but the disciples didn't. And when Satan does not succeed to bring doubts about God in us, then he brings doubts about ourselves in us. When Satan is not able to bring doubts about God, he will bring doubts about yourself. Jesus said the truth, of course. He is wonderful. They were singing about it this morning. But you and the people here at the first row and the second row, maybe you didn't do it very good. Maybe you didn't fulfill all your promises. 1 year ago I was here. Maybe you lifted your hand at that time and you came to the front and you have cried. But after that you fell back again, like the disciples. Sometimes we go back to our safe place. And Peter said, let's go to fish. And the older one said, okay, when you don't have a destiny in your life, a goal, it doesn't matter what you do. If you don't know where you are going to, all ways are okay. And I think that at that day, that they started to row in the Lake of Galilee,
میگن روزی که در واقع توی رودخونه شروع کردن به پا.
When I was Peter, I would have said, let us go far away.
وقتی که توی مسیری پا رو میزنید که
But it is very dark.
من به شخصه میگم
So anonymous as possible. Nobody will see me. Why? Jesus had done what he had said. But he not. He failed. The resurrection is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. I not. And the disciples, they left. And Jesus comes to see them. Did Jesus ever come to see you when you lost your way? He so often has searched for me. And he is saying, where is he? Where is she? I will go to you. God is doing it with me. And there at the beach, Jesus was there and he prepared a breakfast. And fish, bread. Did you ever think about the taste of that fish? Wonderful taste. Wonderful bread prepared by Jesus. Can you imagine? Perfect bread. Perfect fish. Perfectly cooked. With the right amount of sausage. The biblical text when here the Bible is written children the Greek word for it is actually boys. Did you find something? Did you catch something? The apostles cannot see exactly that it was Jesus. And the resurrection was very new. And they cried to each other. Jesus already knew that they didn't catch something. But yet he asked them, did you catch some fish? He knows that I'm failing. He knows that I make mistakes. But still, he is asking, did you catch something? For he is so lovely. And they said, no, we didn't catch anything. Sometimes God is taking care that we don't catch anything. Sometimes nothing shows to us that we are nothing without Jesus. The apostles see Jesus. And they see that wonderful fishing capture. And I threw the nets at the right side. I think it doesn't matter why it is right side or left side, but it was the right side. And there, it was the will of Jesus, the right side, was his way. Why did the apostles listen to him? That's a mystery for me. For they still don't know that it is Jesus, and yet they listen to him. Partly it can be because they lost the way. And the word they heard, they needed it to go on. The net was full of fish, 153, and the net didn't break. John saw that, and he said, it is the Lord. And Peter keeps looking. He dresses himself, and he is going to swim. 100 meters.
پوشید و شروع کرد به شنا کردن به سمت عیسی.
Do you remember when Jesus rose up? The ladies came with the information that the grave was empty. And Peter and John were running to the grave. And John was the first one who arrived. He was younger than Peter. John arrived first. And now Peter is the first. Peter wants to be the first. He wants to be the first who reaches Jesus. Why? It had this, has an impact on his heart. Peter knew that he had failed. He had to do something. He needs the forgiveness of God. He wants to show something. He comes at the beach. And there's nothing written in the Bible about how he said hello to Jesus, but he was the first who arrived. Jesus is sitting there on the beach and he said, bring what you have catched. But listen, the breakfast already was ready. Jesus provided in everything. Everything we catch is only complementary. But the one who really presents the supper, the breakfast, who is paying for everything, even the 153 fishes, that is Jesus. And Jesus said, bring the fish. And what is written there? Only Peter went to the boat and he took the net and he takes it with him with 153 fishes plus the net. They say maybe altogether 120 or 150 kilogram. And Peter tries to take it with him. And he wants to show that he always is able to do something. It is a message, for he says, I have failed. And Jesus invites, please sit down. He loves them. And with all these disciples, you know these verses. When everybody was there, he was watching Peter. And Jesus said, Simon Peter. Simon is a moving reed, unstable. Peter is a rock, very stable. Simon Peter. Jesus had changed his name from Simon to Peter, but he remembers that Peter also is called Simon. Then he said, Simon Peter, son of Jonah. What I like about God and about Lord Jesus, he not only tells us how we feel or who we are, but he also gives a very precise diagnosis about our life. He gives a right diagnosis about Peter. And he says, Peter, do you love me more than the other ones? He uses the word agape, which means the most high expression of love, the best love. And Peter said to Jesus, yes, Lord, I know that I love you. Now Peter used the word philia, And that is a less radical expression of love. And then again Jesus asks him, Jesus, do you love me? With agape. And again, Jesus answers with philia. For Peter also knew who he was. He had seen the worst of himself. After 3 years, he knew that deeply, very deeply, he did not really love Jesus. He was still a coward and a liar. Somebody who was possible to deny Jesus. And he was there sitting between the other disciples, and Jesus took the initiative. For the third time, Jesus asked, Peter, do you love me? Now, philia. And then Peter became sad. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know who I am. The resurrection was wonderful. 3 years passed by. But the resurrection without mercy is only an historical fact. Without mercy, there is no connection with the resurrection. We need it that Jesus invites us to that breakfast. We need it that Jesus again tells us how much he loves us. Although we only love him like Phileas. Can God trust me? I heard this story about Billy Graham. In American, you have the American soccer, like rugby. There was a young guy in a team, in a great final match. The sport people were very nervous. Sometimes I play soccer with a group of men at Sunday evening. We play together. And my knee are not so good anymore, but I like to do it. And before we begin, we do the warming up. Everybody is a little bit nervous, and then it starts. And there was a young man, that young man I was speaking about was in the field, and he was so nervous that he got the ball, and instead of throwing him to the right side, he throws him to the wrong side. And somebody of his own team tackled him and threw him at the ground. So the match went into the wrong direction. And the first half was over. Then they have a few minutes to rest. And there in the clothing rooms, that young guy was sitting there with the towel over his head. He was like Peter when he stepped out of the boat. He was ashamed. He cried. Men tears. And everybody was silent. And it was amazing. And also with that guy, the same team that played the first half, the same team went into the second half. And they all went to the field. But that guy was staying under his towel. And the trainer came and he said, you have to go into the field. But he said, I did everything wrong. I failed. And the trainer was saying, it was only the first half. There's still a second half. This is a story. It shows who we are. When I watched my own life, sometimes I thought I did everything wrong. Everything I did wrong. What can I still do? I believed in Jesus. I know that He loves me. But I already did everything wrong. But yet, God calls us. He invites us for a breakfast. He shows us who we are. And Jesus said, follow me. And again, follow me. And then you say, yes, but I failed. But it doesn't matter for God. For the game does not depend upon you. The game depends on Him. Always already. Always already it mattered about Him. His intelligence, His capacities, His forgiveness, His holiness. Everything matters about Him. We were singing an English song this morning. It was wonderful. A good introduction for the sermon. We are dust. Actually, we are nothing. God knows that you love Him in filial way. God knows that our love is a little bit half. But notwithstanding that, we are here this morning and the breakfast is ready. The second half is before us. And everybody here is participating. For at this moment, we need everybody. Listen. We need everybody to win this battle. This last battle. We need you all. Everybody. And I know that the devil is saying to you, but you failed. You are a betrayer. You did all these bad things. I know that what you do in secretly. I know that your relationship with God is not completely okay, but Jesus is there today and He says, stand up, follow me. What matters, Jesus says, that my love is perfect. The love of God is perfect. He fulfills His word. He is doing what He said. My salvation is based upon what Jesus said and did, not at what I say and do. It matters about Him. The victory is in Him. Our capacities are in Him. And this morning, I come to tell you that everybody goes on in the second half. We have to go a second half. And you participate. We need you. We really need you. How God will use you, I don't know. But He will use you. And when you are going to stand, God will show it to you. It is open. But then God will show you. And my message for you is that God God is expecting you to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say that God doesn't lie, but He is trusting you to come. And He forgave you. He has covered your sin with His love and blood. Don't believe the Satan. Don't listen to the Satan. Don't listen to statistics, but trust God. Although you don't believe, He loves you. Although you love Him at filial level, only at filial level, God loves you. And Jesus tells you, come and follow me. And this morning, and I came from far to challenge you, to invite you to be a part, to become a part of what He is going to do. There are awful things happening, but there are also beautiful things happening. That is wonderful. For where much evil things happen, there is more mercy. There is a breakfast, and many people from outside have to come here. So lift up that towel and go into the field. Come out of your tears and start to play the second half. I participate with my imperfect love, with my imperfect life. I participate. And when I participate, you are also allowed to come. If God is working with me, He is also working with you. I will invite you today to come and to say to Jesus, I'm ready to follow you again, like I am. I give myself again to you, and I follow you with all of my heart in what you have for me, whatever it would be. And everybody may participate in it. You all can give the answer, but I believe that you may do openly. And the Lord has said, I saved you openly. And openly you can give the answer. It is a personal choice. So I will invite you to pray and to say to Jesus whether you want to participate in the second half. And when you want to do that, I will ask you to stand and to come to the front. And then we are going to ask whether God will do something extraordinary. God is doing extraordinary things. And it will happen. Do you believe that? This moment, pray with God and listen to Him. While He is inviting you to follow Him. Although you feel unworthy and you think you have failed, the Lord invites you another time. Come and follow me. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. He comes to take away the towel from your head, the towel of shame, of debt. He takes it from your head, and the Lord invites you for the second half. the Lord expects you to come. Everybody of you. We need everybody. Everybody. You are all needed for this second half. We all need you. Everybody is important. Everybody is needed. Maybe you feel yourself unworthy like Peter or like the other apostles. Maybe you like to take the boat and catch nothing, but Jesus comes to visit you, to see you. Come and eat with me. Come and let me love you. I know who you are. I know what you did. I know that you failed. But it doesn't matter about what you do, but what he does. It is his holiness, his power. And that's why God is saying to you, follow me. And now you can say to him with your own words, Lord, you know everything. Can you say it to the Lord? You know everything. Say it to him. Lord, you know everything. And the Lord says, I love you. Agape. I love you in a perfect way. I know that you have imperfect love, but it doesn't matter about you. It matters about what God did for you. With that imperfect love in you, God calls you to the second half, to this second wonderful fish catching. The Lord resurrected. I know that you know that, but I want to say to you this morning, God loves you. And he expects you to come for everything that is to come, for the great harvest, for the last battle. God expects you to come. Can you say to him, Lord, I follow you? Can you say to God in your own heart, Lord, I follow you, although my life is not completely good, and I cannot fulfill everything. I need solutions in my life. But do you believe when you follow Jesus, he will change you? But if you walk away, then we hurt ourselves. And when we follow him, then we are changed. We have to make that choice to follow him with all of our heart. And we are sorry today about everything we have done and have said. And we follow him with all of our heart. And here we are. I follow you with all of my heart. I will pray for every brother and sister that you have blessed them in Jesus' name, that you fill him with your Holy Spirit, that you show him them the way. What is your will? That they see what is their part. Say how you wants them to come. Show them. Doesn't matter how old you are, what you did, the Lord expects you to come. You may Him give your heart and prepare yourself for what is coming. For also in these difficult times, the best times of your life will come. You will see the glory of God. You will the Son of Man see, who comes back in the clouds to find a church and the Lord calls you for the last harvest. You are not the fisher of fishes. The Lord will provide in everything. He provides in bread and fish, and you will fish people and give yourself for His kingdom, and He will use you from this day onwards.